Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us Mayor Mary Fassbender. She's here to give us a recap of the October 19th meeting, and also we're going to chat about some of the bonding bill funding that has come through, an update on a 2020 recap on the Rotary Pavilion, some different things. So first of all, how are you?
I'm good, Mo. As everyone is seeing, it's snowing.
It is snowing, and we're kind of not ready for it. But you know what? We have to be ready for anything, don't we? And I would assume you know that better than anybody as the mayor of our fair city. How are things going? I had a chance to tune into the October 19th meeting, and it was pretty light compared to a lot of meetings that I've been to.
It was very light. So with that, it means that actually the city and the developments that are coming up are moving closer and closer. I think there's some shovels in the ground to start to see the annexation over on General Stevens. They are starting to move in and take part of making some streets and roads, and it's very exciting for our community. And then, of course, the property on Pleasant, that'll be coming soon too, and there's other things that are in the development, but because we've moved those other items so much, they quickly went through, we kind of have a lull. So it was a short meeting. There was going to be last night a conversation on, if people saw it on the agenda and wanted to hear about it, on the historic apartment conversion at the 321 East 6th Street. It's now the owned by Bowers, and there was going to be a special use permit and a variance in the parking standards, and that we had to move because that takes a full council vote, and we only had a quorum. So we had a couple missing last night, so that will be moved to probably our next council meeting.
So yep. That apartment conversion, where is that now, please, and what is it being used for now, and what is the future use?
So it was the old Harbor Shelter, if you're familiar. It's by the Seed School.
Okay.
And then it was the Harbor Shelter for a few years, and now they want to make it into an apartment complex.
So does it have to be rezoned then, or what is involved with the city?
No, it would be a special use permit, and they have parking standards where there's not enough parking for how many units they're putting in there. Typically it's about 1.5 parking spots per unit, and I think they're looking at a revision of that. We haven't seen it, to be honest. It's only gone through planning, and it was supposed to hit council last night.
So that will be something that will be at your next meeting.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a shorter meeting, which is still good that you go through the process, because you have to have a meeting every other week. Is that correct?
The first and third Monday, correct. And we have to have a quorum in order to have a meeting. We did have a quorum.
And you're still doing your meetings remotely. How is that going?
We are. It's going okay. It's okay. We are preparing the council chambers for if and when we go back to the council chambers, and we now have plexiglass up on the Diaz in between each of the council members. And there have been some meetings there, you know, in the past. But the most important thing about meetings are the microphones and being able to hear clearly, and behind a mask it's very hard to do that, so we're trying to work with it. We do not have a date as of yet when council will be going back, and it might, who knows, we you know, some really want to come back, and some, maybe not so many, want to come back. So we have to make it safe for everyone. So we're just, I think we're content doing it by Zoom. And I actually tell you, Mo, I think there's been more participation from the audience that they can, you know, Zoom in. And if they have a question, you know, then, you know, they can ask that question during, you know, sometimes people don't want to go out of their house. And it's more, easy for them just to, hey, pull it up on their laptop or whatever and maybe look at it that way. So many different spectrums of holding a council meeting, you know, when you have a public hearing. But they've actually, like I said, they've turned out real well, and people have gotten online, and, you know, it's went pretty smoothly.
Yeah, agree.
Another thing to that is the people have a choice to send an email prior, and then I get them and we pass them on to each council member, and they are acknowledged that, you know, we received them. So people can throw an email if they have a question or want to raise something. So it's just kind of streamlining. How can the community reach out to the council if they have any concerns or questions? So I don't mind it, to be honest. And I think with winter coming, it might even feel even more safer with people, because as we know, there's going to be more with the flu and everything else going on. So we just want everyone to feel and stay safe.
Well, thanks for telling us about that. So I know that there are elections coming up also. Would you tell me again who is running and how many people have the potential to run?
Sure. So this year it is for our wards 1, 2, 3, and 4. And ward 1 is Councilmember Fulch, and she does not have an opponent. Ward 2 is Councilmember Balsonic. He has an opponent. Jen Fox is running against Councilmember Balsonic for Ward 2. Ward 3 is Lisa Liefeld. She does not have an opponent. And Ward 4 is Councilmember Lund, and he does not have an opponent. So there are the city, that's the city election that's up. And then, so Election Day, as we know, is coming closer and closer. It is November 3rd, yes. And then they will be sworn in on that Tuesday, January 5th. You know, they get sworn in the first Monday, January 4th, after the new year starts.
Getting back to the election itself, so these four candidates or five candidates, four of them will be actually on the council. Are those for four-year terms then, please?
They are, yes. So the ward is for 4 years, and then in 2 years, it will be at the two at-large. And myself, we run together, and our terms are as well 4 years.
And that's to have continuity on the council so that you don't have all new people.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's correct. Good to know. And so that must be interesting for you to watch an election this year. Yeah.
Yes. COVID, I can't imagine. But, you know, there again, there's more to it than the election. Of course, we have our Senator Bigham, she's up for election, and our House of Representatives, Tony Jurgens, is also up for election. So, and they work very closely with the city. They'll be on the ballot as well.
I know that you mentioned our representatives and our senator. They recently came through with a bonding bill, and there were a couple of things on there that I know were important to the city of Hastings. Do you want to give a recap of that, please?
Sure. And with that, I'd love to thank Representative Tony Jurgens and Senator Carla Bigham, because they worked really hard. They've been working really hard for this bonding and for our two projects. Our one project is Highway 316. We did, it was passed that Hastings will receive. We did have a gap, and now we have no gap. So we received $1.5 million for the Highway 316 project, and also for the Hastings City Hall. The rotunda needs some repair and has needed for quite some time, and that passed as well for $2 million. So out of that $185 billion bonding bill, Hastings received $3.5 million ourselves. So we are so thankful for their hard work. And you know, if no one's ever been in our city hall, I feel so lucky every day that I go there. It's such a magnificent and beautiful property, and we want to maintain that for our community as well as we can, and it's going to really help to help with that rotunda work that needs to be done. So with that, so I'll go back to the 316 project. That'll start in the spring 2021, and if people are interested in it, MnDOT has put out a new video of what it's going to look like, and it's really cool to watch it because it really gives an intricate look as to what it's going to look like with the trail and the roundabout.
We have posted that actually on our KDWA Facebook page in the past, and we can continue to do so, but I agree with you. It is a bird's eye view, animated, but it looks like it is the real deal, and it shows from Tuttle all the way to basically the split of Highway 316 and 61, what it's going to look like, where those roundabouts are going to be exactly. That's a great animation. Yes, I agree with you.
And I encourage everyone to go look at it because it does put a clearer perspective on what these roundabouts are going to look like, and it just looks like it's going to, I'm going to be so excited to be able to drive that road because as of now, it's just a road. You know, it's really going to beautify the incoming of our community. I think it's just going to add a little bit of, well, newness, you know. Let's bring everything up to date. And it's been a long, this started way before I was in my seat. So this started, you know, years ago, and as people know, and they will continue to know, MnDOT, it takes a long time to get something done, and they've had how many reach outs to the community, the residents that live out there. So I'm really thinking that they have been listening to what the residents want because they're the ones that have to live with it, you know, but I think MnDOT is also doing it from a safety perspective, you know, what is the underlying safety issues out there? And one, of course, was speed. And they're hopeful that that's going to, those roundabouts are going to slow the speed down. So, you know, you have to give everybody a lot of credit. And our public works department, Nick Iger and his group, I mean, they have worked so many hours on this project. And I'm just so thankful for them that it passed as well. So we can start to see some earth being moved and the project bringing it to fruition. So
Mary, that again, will be in the spring. Yep. It will start, but how long will it take, please?
Oh, I think it's fall of 2022.
Okay.
Or maybe longer. It's been so long since we've talked about it, so right. I can't really remember, but it will start in the spring of 2021.
It's really great though that did come through because that funding was kind of iffy at the beginning of the year, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. There was a $1.5 million gap, and we don't have any more money to put in. So we are very thankful for it. Very, very, very. So.
Well, that's wonderful news. So I know also you wanted to give an update on the Rotary Pavilion and just the activity that you still were able to conduct in this weird 2020 year. Tell us about that.
It was. It's just been an odd year for everyone. But I'm going to do a shout out for Paige Marshall Bigler, and she's the recreation programming specialist for the Parks and Rec. She, again, did an amazing job. This is the fifth year of the programming for the Rotary Pavilion.
Really?
And again, we have to put a shout out to Rotary because that has been just such a beautiful addition to our Levee Park. It's been great. So along with all the items that are being done, of course, they have to be funded. So I'd love to do a shout out to the Ruth and George Doffing Foundation. They're donors for the Music in the Park. Music in the Park, if you remember, was on Thursday evening. And Paige did an amazing job. And she always, There has not been a band that's been here twice. So she does a ton of work through the winter and research and gets these bands, you know, for all types of the family members, you know, from youth to the old. I mean, there was a beautiful polka session this year.
Yes.
A brass band.
A kids band.
So, yeah, she's just done a great job. And then Movies in the Park has been, their main donor was Ardent Hills in Hastings. And again, thankfully, we have these sponsors to come forward. And then Meads, they were the donors for the performances in the park. And those are like the Raptor, you know, there's various things that are going on during the, like, the weekdays of the park. You know, there's usually two times a week that there's something going on. So Smeads was the donor for that. And then Dakota Electric, they donated for the party in the park. And that was really fun, too, this year. I mean, that's where they have games, and they just bring everybody down to the park. All of the events were very well attended. I respected and appreciated all the people. They kept their distance. They wore their masks if needed. And you know what? That's how we come together in COVID. Again, we have to be respectful of the person sitting 6 feet away from us. And it's just being safe within our community. And this is how the Parks Department can have items like this, is because we attend them and we respect what we need to do in order for the attendance. As you know, was 250 people or less, and I think close to every one of them were near 250. Like I said, they were well attended, and people appreciate it during COVID. Oh my gosh, just get me out of the house, you know.
So, absolutely, Mary. Yeah, thank you. Sure. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for getting us up to speed on what's going on in our fair city. We want to thank you for that, and we will chat with you in another couple of weeks. We want to thank our guest, Mayor Mary Fassbender. She is the mayor of Hastings, and we really appreciate her time. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.